14th chapter of Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda, the laws of stolen and lost objects. Today's chapter deals with various kinds of lost objects which are found, and this perek contains 13 halachas. Perek Arba, also the 14th chapter, halacha Aleph. This first halacha discusses the various categories of lost objects which are singled out to be discussed in the Chumash. In Parshas Kisetze, at the beginning of Perek Chav Beis, in Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel, various objects are singled out. Sheir, seh, an ox, a sheep, and in Pasuk Gimel, kein tasa lachamere, so too for a donkey, the kein tasa lasimlase, and so too for a garment. The Rambam in this halacha teaches us why the Torah specifically indicated all of these objects and didn't just say in general any lost object, in order to teach us specific laws through singling out these particular cases. Hasimla b'chlal kol avedas achicha ha'yisa. The pasuk says kol avedas achicha, any lost object of your brother, and a garment was included in this general statement. V'kein asher v'aseh v'chamer, and so too an ox, sheep, or a donkey, any of them would also be included in this general phrase, any lost object. The loma parat akasuv chamer. Why then did the pasuk single out a donkey? Lachsiro b'simone mardas, to allow one to use this sign of identification of the saddle of the donkey as sufficient to return it to its owner. Afo bisha simin b'davara tofule, and even though the sign is not in the object itself, but rather in something which is secondary to the object, the saddle, yachsir, nevertheless you should return it. One might think the donkey could be returned only if one gives signs of the donkey, not the saddle. The Ponzik therefore teaches you a donkey. You can return the donkey even if the sign isn't something secondary to the object itself, in this case the saddle. The Loma Parat Sher Voseh. Why then did we single out an ox and a lamb? Lahachzir afilu gizas haseh, so that you are required to return not only the lamb itself, but also anything which was shorn from the lamb, any of its wool, oy gez zon of hasher, or something which was cut off of the tail of the ox. Afal pishu dabar muat, even though it might be only a slight thing, a slight amount, because we learned earlier in these halachas that one is not required to return something which is less than a sheva pruta, less than the amount of the smallest amount of currency one could buy something with. However, in this case, even though it's a dover mu'at, it's a very slight amount, less than the worth of a pruta, since the entire ox or the lamb is worth more than a pruta, definitely, we are required to return these shearings as well. Which one is left? Now, v'lomet parata simla. Why then was a garment singled out? This is to give us a more general sort of lesson. Lilmod mimenu ma hasimla miyuchedes. To learn from it that just as a garment is singled out, has certain characteristics. First of all, sheyesh lo simonin, that it has identifiable traits, signs by which we could identify a garment. And second of all, v'cheskosa sheyesh lo teivin. And the presumption is that there are people waiting to claim it, since they have hope of identifying the object, since it has these identifiable traits. And therefore, v'chayev lahachzir, one is required to return it. Av kol davar sheyesh lo simonim, so to anything else which has identifiable traits, harihu b'cheskas sheyesh lo teivin, so too, the presumption is there are people waiting to claim it. V'chayev lahachzir, and one is required to return it, as long as it has simonim. Av davar sheyesh lo teivin, but an object where there's nobody claiming it, Elanis Yashu Mimenu Abailim, but the original owners have already given up hope, Harihu Shel Meitze. This belongs automatically to the one that's found it. Afo Pishu Yesh Bei Simonim. And furthermore, even if it does have signs, if it does have identifiable traits by which one could identify the object and therefore have a right to reclaim it, as if we know for certain that the owners have given up hope, it belongs to the one that finds it. The Pasuk singles out a garment to teach you the general principle about when it is that somebody has yiyush. When does someone give up hope? If something has signs like a simla, like a garment, normally one has not given up hope of getting it back, and therefore one is required to return it. However, if something else which does not have a sign, normally the owners would have yiyush, as the Rambam will explain further on. Normally one would have yiyush immediately upon finding out that the object is lost, and therefore it belongs to the one that finds it. But the key principle that Rambam tells us is not whether it has signs or not, but whether there is yiyush or not. If the owners have given up hope, it automatically belongs to the one that finds it. And therefore, even if it has signs, and normally there would not be yiyush, if we find out some way that their owners did have yiyush, nevertheless, it belongs to the one that finds it, as the Rambam will explain in Halacha Gimel. Halacha Beis. Zeh HaKlal BaVeda. This is the general principle regarding a lost object. Kol Davar She'ein BeSimen. Anything which does not have an identifiable trait. Kiven Sha'avad. As soon as he loses it. V'yodei BeHabaylim Sha'avad. And the owners are notified that it is lost, or they come to know that it is lost. Harizeh BeChezkes Yishenis Yashu Mimenu. By love. The assumption is that the owners have given up hope of getting it back. Since there is no sign, they have no way of identifying the object, it's lost, and they forget about having any hope of regaining it. Could gain, for example, masmer echad, the person lost one nail, or machat achas, or matbeya echad, lost one needle, or one coin. In these cases, one is unable to give any sign in order to have it returned. Because how could one identify one nail? There are so many nails like it. The person will announce, I found one nail. How is the original owner going to identify it? I lost one nail. This is obviously no good. This is insufficient to identify the object and reclaim it. Therefore, one is not required. Therefore, it belongs to the one that found it, since it has no sign. The original owner gave up hope of regaining it, since he has no way of identifying it, and it belongs to the person that found it. Why does the Rambam say one nail or one needle or one coin? After all, one does not have any better signs of identifying a nail or a needle. However, the Rambam mentioned in the previous perek in Halacha Hay that simanim uvakim, identifiable signs, includes the number of objects which is lost. So therefore, if one tells exactly the number of coins which were lost, or the number of nails or needles, this would be a sufficient sign in order to return it to this person. Halacha Gimel, v'kol davar she'esh be'simen, and anything which has. This is again apparently part of the klal, the general principle. The Halacha Beis said anything which has no simen, as soon as it's lost and the owners know, then the presumption is that they've given up hope. And Halacha Gimel, v'kol davar she'esh be'simen, anything which does have a sign. Kagein simla ubehema, for example, a garment or an animal. Harizeh b'cheskes sholeinis yashu mimeno b'aylov. The presumption is that the owners have not given up hope. Sharei daitin kluya litin simanim she'esh be'. Because they are depending. They are still thinking that they are going to present the signs that they can use to identify the animal, the yachzer len, and therefore it will be returned to them. Lefichach, therefore, hamaitza eisei, someone that finds it, either a garment or an animal or anything else with identifiable traits, chayev lahachriz, he is responsible, he is required to make a public notification that he has found this object, as we described in the previous perek. Elim kein yodesh in his Yashua Bailim, unless he knows for sure that the owners have given up hope. How would he know such a thing? Kagein sheshoma esim aimrim, for example, he heard the owners of the object saying, Vai lechesren kis, that oive for the loss of money which is involved, or something similar, which shows that they have given up hope, because they're saying, terrible, what a loss of money that has taken place over here. Obviously, they've given up hope of getting it back. This particular lost object will belong to the one that found it, and he has no requirement to announce that he has found it. That as long as there is yiyush, it belongs to him. Normally, anything with a sign on it, he is required to announce. But since here he knows there is yiyush, he does not have to make an announcement. Dalit. The Kani Motsa Dover Sheyesh Pesimin Bayom Ubanoru Kuyetsubehen. So too, if he found an object which does have an identifiable sign, but he found it in the ocean, or in a river, or someplace similar, or in a place where the majority of people are not Jewish, and where they certainly are not going to return a lost object. This, the presumption is that the owners have given up hope on it from the time that they lost it. Because as soon as they lose it, they realize that it's lost in the ocean or the river or so on, they have no hope of getting it back. Ulafichach, therefore, harehu shel meitzeh. So too in this case, it belongs to the one that finds it. Afal pi shelasham ha'bailim shenishyashu mimenu. Apparently, the Lashon is not so clear over here. Some of the commentaries say it should be that he did not hear that the owners have given up hope of regaining the object, since it has fallen in the river, even though he has not heard that they gave up hope. Nevertheless, it belongs to him. Up till now, we have the basic principle that we look after yiush. If there has been yiush, the owner has given up hope. For example, in a case where the object had no identifiable sign, then it belongs to the finder. Whereas if he had no yiush, such as in a case where it had a sign, then he must notify everyone that he has found the object. The Rambam now introduces a new concept, yiush shalei midas. Yiush, which the person does not really know about. As the Rambam will now explain, that yiush only helps when the person has actually given up hope of getting it back. But if somebody has lost something that has no sign, such as what we mentioned in Halacha Beis, a coin, which has no identifiable traits on it, and therefore the person that lost it gave up hope on it, this only happens when he actually realizes it has been lost and therefore does actually give up hope. However, if he doesn't even know he lost it yet, we don't say that's yiush. This is called yiush shelo midas. He does not know yet that he even lost it. So this is not a real case of yiush, as the Rambam now says. Halacha hei, yiush shelo midas. If a person has not become aware yet that he has lost, that in order to have yiush, to give up hope, afilu bedavar she'ein bei simen ein yiush, even in something which has no simen, nevertheless it is not called yiush that he has given up hope. Ketzad, for example, nafal mimenu dinar, a dinar, a coin, has fallen from his hand, v'lo yada beisha nafal, and he does not yet know that it fell. Even though that when he does become aware that it fell, he would automatically give up hope because he has no sign in which to identify this dinner. Nevertheless, this is not yet called yiush until the owners know that it has fallen. Until then, it's called yiush lemitas, and this is not yiush. But if the owners are still saying, Shemen Asativ Laplaini, that maybe I gave it to someone else, that's why it's not in my pocket. Or Shema B'migdal Humunach, or maybe it's sitting in my cabinet. Or Shema Ta'isi B'cheshbein, or maybe I made a mistake. Or Kyeitze B'dvarim Elu, or the similar things. Ein Ze Yiyush, this is still not Yiyush. In other words, when something has no simin, we say that once he becomes aware of it, automatically there is Yiyush. Before that, it is not yiush, since he is not aware of it. It's yiush shelo midas. But even after he becomes aware that the coin is missing, if he still thinks that it has not been lost, maybe he misplaced it, maybe he put it somewhere else, or anything like this, then it's still not yiush, even though there is no sign, and even though he has already become aware of its being missing. Halacha vav. Harei chaver shenafel mimenu dinner al haaretz. One sees his friend drop a dinner on the ground. V'lo yada bei, and he is not aware that he dropped it. If he was aware that he dropped it, then there would already be yiush, and the person would be allowed to pick it up legally and keep it without making an announcement, since there has already been yiush, and there was only one of them. So therefore, the owner would not be able to identify it. However, if before the one that dropped it is aware of this fact, and the person picks up this dinner before there has been yiush, before the owner has given up hope, since he doesn't even know it's lost, The person is transgressing one positive mitzvah and two prohibitions, as we explained in the Perek Yud Aleph, the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. What is the essay? The essay is the positive commandment, Hashev Teshivim Lachicha, that you must return a lost object. And this person picked up the lost object with the intention of keeping it, of not returning it. What are the lavin? There is one lav, Leisigzol, you're not allowed to steal. And since the owner has not yet had yush, he has not given up hope. He is not even aware that he has lost it. This is the same thing as stealing it. This is one prohibition. And the other prohibition, leisuchu leisalim, that you're not allowed to hide yourself, to hide your eyes, so to speak, from this lost object and pretend that you don't see it or pretend that you don't have to return it. Therefore, he transgresses three laws, one positive and two negative. And even though after the person gave up hope, he discovered he lost it, and he gave up hope of getting it back, and this person also does tshuva and he decides to give back the coin, nevertheless, this does not correct the transgressions he did. This is a gift. He has already transgressed all of the prohibitions. Since there has already been yiyush, at that moment he acquires the object. And now it already belongs to him. He has done his avedas, he has done his sins, and now it belongs to him. If he decides to give it back, he has done tshuva. Very good, he has given a gift. But this does not mean that he has not transgressed the prohibitions. The prohibitions have been done, and now he is giving a gift of something that he now owns as a result of his theft. Halacha Zayin. Notel ha-dinner lifnei yiyush al menas lahachzirei. Let's say the person picked up this dinner before the owner has given up hope of its return. It has no sign, but he does not yet know that he has dropped it. Therefore, he does not yet have yiyush. And he picks it up with the intention of doing the proper thing, with the intention of returning it. However, later on, this Yetzirah got a hold of him. Ola'achir yiyush, and then later on, after the owner has discovered its loss and has given up hope, niskaven ligzo. Then he decides to hold on to it. He's going to steal it. In this case, he only transgresses the positive commandment that one is required to return a lost object. That since he picked it up before Yiyush, he has the responsibility to return it. He does not transgress leisigzol, because stealing only applies at the moment that you take the object. And here, at the moment he took the object, he had took it with the intention of returning it. And so too, lasuch leisalem only applies if he sees a lost object and refuses to involve himself with it. Where here, he picked up the lost object with the intention of returning it. He is not violating this commandment either. Therefore, he is only violating the positive commandment. And let's say the person took another plan of action. Once again, he sees the dinar, the coin, fall to the ground, and the owner is not aware of it. And himtinlah, he waited over there. V'lohi diya labailim, he didn't tell the owners that they dropped it. V'lohi notala dinar, and he didn't pick up the money either. Ashayodu habailim shanofal, until the owner becomes aware that it fell. Shahari nisyashu, k'moshe biyarnu. And now the owners have given up hope, as we explained, that any time something is dropped without any simon, the owners give up hope of getting it back. So what happened? The person decided to be smart. And then he took this dinar and picked it up from the ground. And now we say that since he only picked it up after Yiyush, the coin belongs to him. In this case, he only transgresses here the one prohibition, you are not allowed to hide yourself from a lost object. The positive commandment of returning it, he has not violated, because when he picked it up, there was already yiyush. The prohibition of leisigzol is not violating, because when he picked it up, there was already yiyush. They've given up hope, and it therefore belongs to him. However, lohusuch leisalim, the prohibition of not pretending you do not see the lost object, he has violated, since he should have notified the owner immediately upon seeing that it was dropped. Became kol kiyetsi bazan, so to any similar case where the object which is dropped has no signs, and therefore after yiyush, as soon as the owner knows that it has been dropped, there will be yiyush, and then the person picks it up. For the next halacha, we need a little background. Let's say two people are partners, and let's say an object worth a pruta and a half belonging to their partnership falls on the ground. Each individual of the partnership owns less than a pruta, 3/4 of a pruta to be exact. And one is not required, according to law, to return something which is less than a sheva pruta. Therefore, even though the object he finds is a pruta and a half, it is more than a pruta, since each individual does not own a pruta's worth, he is not responsible to return it. And so too, if there were 3 people in a partnership, and there was an object worth 2 prutas, so too, each one would have less than a pruta's share in the object, and if he finds such an object, he would again not be required to return it. Now, halacha ches, roa sela or matbeya, he sees a certain coin, shenofel afilu mishleisha b'nei adam, even from 3 individuals. He doesn't know yet whether they are partners or not, but he sees 3. Even though there is not a pruta's worth to every individual, and therefore normally he would not be required to return it, he is required to return it. Why? Let's first take the possibility that they are not partners, which would mean that this object, which is worth more than a pruta, does not belong to all of them together. It belongs only to one of them. In that case, seemingly, he would have to return it to the one person. However, Rav Nachman explains in the Gemara that if there are 3 people walking together, and then one of them drops an object worth more than a sheva pruta, the one that finds it owns it. And why is that? Because what's going to happen? First, he's going to ask one of his friends, did you see this object? And he's going to say no. The other, he's going to ask the other one, did you see this object? And he's also going to say no. And he's going to press both of them, and both of them are going to say no. And he's going to suspect one of them of lying. It happens to be in this case that they're both telling the truth. But since they were both with him, he's going to suspect them of finding the object or picking his pocket or something of the sort. However, the person that lost the object is going to feel helpless in the situation. He cannot force either one of them, because this one will claim that the other one took it. And truthfully so, he will say that he is innocent. He will turn to the other one and he'll say that the other person took it. So he's hopeless. Once he is walking with 3 people, with a group of 3, and he loses an object, he is automatically going to have yiyush. He's going to give up hope of getting it back because there is nothing he can do to regain the object. Therefore, if that was the case, that they are not partners, whoever finds it is going to gain possession in this case. What then are we worried about? Shemeshut finhein. Perhaps they are partners. But why should we worry if they're partners? If they're partners, they have joint ownership in this object, and each one does not have a pruta share in it. So let's say that the thing was worth 2 prutas, and there are 3 partners. Each one has less than a pruta share in it, and one is not required to return it. However, we suspect something else. One of the 3 gave up his portion to his friend. And therefore, there are only 2 owners in this 2 pruta object. And it turns out that this lost object is worth a pruta. That since there is a lost object, in order to regain possession, that it shouldn't be totally lost, one of the parties will give up his portion, his share in this object. And therefore, it will be worth a sheva pruta to each individual. Notice that Rambam says over there, Shema machal, machal echer man chelkei l'chaveirei. We worry that only one of them will give up his portion of the object. We do not, if it would be necessary that both of them should give up their portion of the object. Let's say there are 3 partners, and the object was worth 1.5 prutas, that even if one of them gave up the portion, it would be 2 people for an object worth a pruta and a half. Still, there would be less than a pruta for each one. When would he yet be responsible to return it? If 2 people gave up their portion. So far, says the Rambam, we do not worry. That's why the Rambam only says, "Umachol echad man chelkei l'chaveri," that only one of them gave up his portion. The next few halachas continue with the law of objects which have no simen. Halacha tes. Ra chaveirei shnafu mimena dinner b'secha chayl or b'secha ofer. He sees his friend dropped a dinner into sand or into the dust, into the dirt. V'nisala mimeno, and he has lost it. Harezeh kaneifel layam oy lanar. This is as if it fell into the ocean or into the river. V'harehu shel meitzei. It belongs to the one that finds it. Sharei nisyash mimeno. He has given up hope for it since it has no sign. It's not exactly like it fell into the river or the sea, as we learned in our Halacha Dalet, because then even if it did have a sign, he has given up hope, because there's really no chance of finding it whatsoever. Here in the sand, he might find it, but there's no sign to identify it as his. Somebody might eventually find it, but there's no sign. So he has given up hope once he can not immediately find it in the sand. And even if he sees later on, the person comes back with a sieve. And he is obviously intending to search for it. So how can we say there is yush? Obviously there is not yush, we might think. Here he is coming with a sieve. What less yush could there be? Nevertheless, says the Rambam, he has still gone through yush already. He has given up hope, even though we see him with a sieve. Why is that? Because b'das ra'ua hu machapesh. He is searching only with a very uncertain, unclear mind over here. He is not necessarily searching for his coin. K'dena shemachapshim ba'ofer shara baloshin. Just like other people that go around searching for things, also search in the dirt. Shelo nofel mehen klum. They didn't drop anything over there. Nevertheless, they come with their sieves and they go to the beach and they look through the sand. Sheme yimsum ma shenofel lachedim. Maybe they will find something that someone else dropped. That's why this person is also searching. Not because that he hasn't given up hope. The truth is he has given up hope. Because he doesn't hope to be able to find his coin over here. Why then is he coming with a sieve if he didn't give up hope? Because he does have hope that somebody else dropped a coin just like he dropped a coin. And maybe he'll find some coin over there. His, someone else's. His he doesn't even hope to get back anymore. But maybe he'll find some other coin. Therefore, this is still yiyush, even though we see he's coming back to search for it. Halacha Yud. Hamaitza sela b'shuk. A person found a coin with a sela in the marketplace. Motze chaverei, and his friend finds him ba'omer le shalihi, that this was my coin you found. And he starts giving signs to identify the coin. V'chadoshihi, it's a brand new coin. V'shal medina plainihi, it comes from a certain land. V'shal melech plainihi, and it belongs to a certain king. And he gives all different sorts of identifying signs. Afilo omer shmi kasuv aleh, and even if he says, I wrote my name on it, and it's right. Shouldn't we say in this case that he has given a clear sign and it should be his? We mentioned in Halacha Beis examples of things which have no signs, and we mentioned a coin. But here he has given signs. Obviously, he knows that the coin is his. He can give his name, even, that it is written on the coin. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, Loi Omar Klum, his saying is, his speech is worthless here. Ve'ena chayev lahachzir, and he is not required to return it. Why not? He has given such clear signs. She'ein simani hamatbeya simen. In general, any signs you could give on a coin are not valid signs. Why is that? Not because we don't listen to the signs. It's not a chok. There is a reason over here. Mipnei shechaskosu lahitza. Since the presumption is that coins are going to be spent, a person doesn't hold on to a coin forever. Obviously, he's going to use this coin for something else. So therefore, Oimrim Anu Shalai Hayasa. We say that it's true. He can identify it, and it did once belong to him. However, he perhaps spent it on something else. And it fell from someone else. So coins are always being spent. So his identifying the coin has nothing to do with the coin we found. Perhaps his connection with it has already been severed and it was really belongs to the other person. Therefore, the one that finds it has an equal right to it. And since any signs you offer regarding a coin are not signs we can rely on, mishas nefila nisyayish. As soon as he dropped the coin, he gave up hope. And therefore, it belongs to the one that finds it. Even a coin with signs on it. The one that drops it knows he will not be able to regain it because it is an invalid sign. Therefore, there has been yiyush, and the one that finds it acquires possession of the object. Halacha Yud Aleph. A person finds an object which has no simen, aside something which does have a simen. For example, he finds a garment, and behind it a coin, beside it a coin. The coin, we say there would be yiush normally, and he is allowed to keep it. The garment, we would say, has a sign, there is no yiush, and he has to announce it. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, over here, if you find one beside the other, chayev lahachriz, he is required to make the announcement about both objects, that since they are found in proximity to one another, the probability is that both of them were lost by the same person. Let's say the person comes and gives this identifying traits of the garment. He takes this garment. And he says that this is all I dropped. The garment I lost. And now I've given the signs it belongs to me. You found a coin there? I didn't lose any coins. In such a case, the one that found the coin has a right to the coin since it has no the coin which has no simen, which has no sign in order to identify it. That since this person was not the one that lost it, and it had no simen, whoever did lose it has given up hope of regaining it. From here to the end of the perek, the Rambam will deal with a sort of intermediary situation. The object which has been lost is not like a nail, or a pin, or a coin, which no one would be able to recognize whether it's his or someone else's. They all look the same. However, it is also not like a garment which has clearly identifiable signs that the person could clearly tell whether it is his. Rather, it is a sort of vessel that in general they look the same. However, although you would not be able to describe the one which is yours, you would be able to see if it was yours once it would be put in your vision. If you could look at it, you could tell if it's yours or not. How do we look at such a case? Halacha Yud Beis. Hameitze kli cheres uchkiyetze ben. If you find a clay vessel or something similar, mikelim shetzuras kulan shove, or another vessel, all of which are shaped the same. In other words, every teacup basically looks the same. Clay teacups are basically the same thing. We're not talking now about ones which are glazed. Evidently, at the times of the Gemara, they all were put in a very similar shape, and one would be unable to describe whether it was your clay teacup or not. Im kelim chadashim heim, if they are brand new vessels, hareheim shaloi, whoever finds it, they belong to him. Shareheim kamei dinar mishana dinrim. It's like any other coin, she'ein le simen, which has no sign. Ve'ein abayle makirim, my son. And the owners are not able to recognize them. She'ein yedeya im pachze, oitzluchi zu, she'loya shel acher. The original owner doesn't know if this container or this flask belongs to him or someone else. Since it's brand new, they all look the same, and he is unable to identify whether it's his or someone else. Therefore, there was yiush involved. He gave up hope of getting it back. He cannot identify it. And it's exactly like the case of somebody that lost a coin, that since he is Yiyu, she has no right to it. However, ve'im hayu kelim yeshenim, if they were old vessels, shetivasan ha'ayin, that one's eye, there are different girsas here in the Rambam, taken from the Shabbos Frankel Rambam, shetivasan ha'ayin, that one's eye has already become accustomed to their appearance. Therefore, a person, although he couldn't describe the object, he nevertheless could recognize it. Chayev lahachriz, he must make an announcement regarding this object. Why should he make an announcement? After all, the person will not be able to give identifying traits. If a person comes and says, let me see it, I'll tell you if it's mine or not. We normally don't trust such a person. Obviously, we trust, we would suspect that somebody's going to come, take a look at it and say, oh, you're right, it's mine. And not being able to give any signs. How can we even make such an announcement? What's the use of such an announcement? There is nevertheless a case that Rambam says that we will allow such a person to take it. Sheim yovei talmid chachamim. If a student of the sages comes, v'yemer, and he says, afo pisha eini yechol litin b'kli kozes simin, that even though I cannot give a sign, a recognizable identifying sign for such a vessel, this Talmud Chacham says, Yeshli bei tviyas ayin, I would be able to recognize it. Chayev laharesele, you were required to show it to him. Im hekirei v'omer shalihu, and if he recognizes it and says it is mine, machzirin le, we return it to him. That we would not suspect a Talmud Chachamim, such as a student, a Torah scholar, to lie. If he would not recognize it, he would not say that he recognizes it. And therefore, we're required to make the announcement in order to give this Talmud Chacham, perhaps it belongs to a Talmud Chacham, and then he will be able to regain his object. And this final halacha, fascinating halacha, defines when is someone called a Talmud Chachamim. Halacha Yud Gimel. Bamed Vorim Amurim. When does this last Halacha Yud Beis apply? That if a Talmid Chachamim, a Torah scholar, a student of a scholar comes, and gives an, it says he is able to identify the object without giving a sign that we believe it and give it to him, the Talmid Vosik, with only to a Talmud Vasik. What is a Talmud Vasik? This phrase is often used. The Aruch explains, Bal Mideis Umailus Teves, a person with good Mideis and with many good qualities. Doesn't only mean his Torah knowledge, but he is a Bal Mideis Teves. She'enai Meshane B'dibure Klal, that he does not change and switch around his speech whatsoever. Needless to say, he never lies. That we don't even have to mention. But in addition, he doesn't even twist things around. He doesn't even say things which could be misconstrued. Except in the following situations, which the Rambam will discuss now till the end of the halacha, where even a Talmud Vasik is allowed to make a statement which could be misconstrued, and nevertheless would be trustworthy as far as the law of identifying a lost object. He never changes his speech, Ela B'divrei Shalom, first of all in something involving making peace, Oiba Masechta, or regarding a tractate, Oiba Mita, regarding a bed, Oiba Bayez Shomis Arachbei, or regarding a house that he was a guest in. And the Rambam now explains, what are these four cases? Ketzat, what are examples where we say that the Talmud Vasik is allowed to change his speech and still retain his previous trustworthiness? First, the one that Rambam discusses is Masechta. Haya Isaac be Masechta Nida. The person was learning tractate Nida. And he tells somebody asks him a question regarding Nida, or even nobody approaches him. V'omer be Mikvayis Anishena. I am learning the laws of Mikvah. Why would he say such a thing? Kadesh Leishlo Isay Shailas Binyan Nida. In order that people shouldn't ask him questions regarding the laws of Nida. What's the other case? Osher Yoshin b'mita zu. He slept in a certain bed. Va'omer b'zu ani Yoshin. He says that I slept in another bed. He points to the other bed. Why did he do such a thing? Shema yimtzu sham keri. Maybe in the bed he slept in there was a keri. There was a nocturnal emission of semen. And it would be a shameful thing if they see on the bed that this Torah scholar slept in. They found a keri. It would be a very shameful thing to his Torah scholar and to the Torah itself. And therefore he says, no, I slept in that bed, in another bed, in order that he should point out, one, that there is no possibility of finding a keri on. And what's the case of a guest? Oshinisarach Eitzel Shimon. He was a guest by Shimon. V'omar, and somebody asks him, where did you stay? And he says, Eitzel Reuven ani misarich, that I am staying by Reuven. Why does he say that? Kadesh lo yatrichu al zeh shinisarach etzle, in order that people shouldn't bother the one that he really is a guest at. They see that Shimon takes guests. I will also be a guest. So therefore, he says they went to Reuven. Or a fourth case, Shehevi Sholem Bein Adam Lachaveire, in order to make peace between a person and his neighbor, Vahesi Vagara Kadei Lachavavon Ze Lo Ze, and he adds, or he subtracts a little bit, in order to make them more beloved one to another. As the story goes regarding Aaron HaKayin, that when two people were fighting, Aaron would go to one, and he would say, you know, your friend really wants to make peace. He just doesn't want to ask first. Then he'd go to the other one. So your friend also wants to make peace, or your enemy, as the case may be. He also wants to make peace, but he also can't bring it to himself to be the first one to offer. When they see each other, automatically they feel love for one another, because they feel the other one has forgiven. And they come together and make friends. This is that Aaron was able to l'shanes mipnei ha-shalom, to change things around slightly in order to add on peace. So too in this case, harei zem mutter, this the Talmud Vasik is allowed to do. But if witnesses come and tell us that he has changed his speech, he has distorted things in something other than these four categories, chutz midvarim elu, aside from these categories, ein machzirin leis haveda betvias ayin, we do not return the lost object to him based on his recognizing the object alone. He must be able to give recognizable signs. Just to conclude this parak, I give a vort on what we discussed earlier in Halacha Hey, in the following halachas about Yiyush Shalom Midas. There's an old vort, the Yiyush Shalom Midas means the following. Yiyush, giving up hope, is something as Shalom Midas, is something done without any sense, without any knowledge. Because a person should never, ever give up hope. As we learn regarding the law of Pesach Sheni, that the Friedrich Rebbe said is nitokin farfalin min kanalamo farichten, that there is no such thing as no more hope. There's no such thing as something which cannot be corrected. You can always correct a misdeed, always correct a mistake. There is always a second chance. And so too, yiyush, giving up hope completely, yiyush shalom midas, is something which is done without proper knowledge, without proper understanding. There should never be yiyush when it comes to serving Hashem.